Welcome to Talking About Justice in Nunavut, a series of audio interviews presented by the Law Society of Nunavut. Today we're going to talk about family violence and abuse. This can be a difficult topic, and you might find the information to be upsetting. Take care of yourself. You might want to think about any steps that you need to take to emotionally prepare yourself. And you should also think about what care you might need after listening to this program. We'll share some resources for support throughout this program, and we'll also share support resources again at the end. My name is Gloria Song, and I'm the Access to Justice Coordinator for the Law Society of Nunavut. The Law Society has been partnering with Paktutit Inuit Women of Canada on a project to study and raise awareness about family violence and abuse in Nunavut. For this program, we'll hear from a number of Nunavumiut from across the territory about what we should know about family violence and abuse and what we can do. In particular, we'll talk about the Family Abuse Intervention Act, also known as FAIA, a law that is meant to help Nunavumiut take action on family violence and abuse. We'll hear from a community justice specialist in Coral Harbor, who will talk about what family violence is and how the Family Abuse Intervention Act can help deal with it. We'll also hear from a community health representative in Baker Lake, who will talk about healthy relationships, including healthy sexual relationships. A community mental health specialist in Iqaluit will let us know what emotional abuse can look like, as well as tips for mental wellness. Our partner, Paktutit Inuit Women of Canada, will share with us some of the stories that we heard from women with lived experiences of family violence when we traveled to different communities across the territory as part of this project. And we'll also hear from a facilitator and advocate from Ilyanapa Skills Development Center about how to overcome difficult feelings and difficult times. First up, we have Ruth Ituk-Putulik from Coral Harbor. Ruth has extensive experience working with the Family Abuse Intervention Act, including as a community justice outreach worker. Ruth, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. My name is Ruth Ituk-Putulik. I'm a community justice outreach worker in Coral Harbor. As part of my job, I assist those who are in abusive relationships and orders under Family Abuse Intervention Act, more commonly known as an acronym FAIA.
So what is family abuse?
Family abuse is defined as emotional and mental abuse, physical abuse, sexual abuse, as well as financial other abuse. Some examples are threatening to hit someone, raising a fist at someone, punching, pushing, or slapping someone, throwing objects in the house or at someone, calling names and put-downs as a form of verbal abuse and emotional abuse, punching holes in the walls to intimidate someone, threatening to harm themselves if you seek help, including sexual contact and coerced by force, not allowing someone to leave the house, forbidding someone to go to work, taking someone's debit card to withdraw money without their permission, deprivation of necessities of life, like food, clothing, shelter, and medical attention.
That was Ruth Ituk-Putulik, community justice outreach worker and acting community justice specialist in Coral Harbor, talking about what family abuse is. We'll hear more from her later in the show, but first let's talk about the different kinds of abuse that there are out there and what a healthy relationship looks like. Joan Kilulak is a community health representative based in Baker Lake, working for the Government of Nunavut Department of Health. She joins us with some advice about what a healthy relationship looks like. Hello, Joan.
Thank you.
So what is a healthy relationship? What does that look like?
A healthy relationship is about feeling good about who we are, about our body, and about ourselves. A healthy relationship also promotes positive self-esteem. We feel respected, appreciated, and accepted for who we are. Everyone deserves to be respected in all their relationships.
Sometimes I see people talk about how their boyfriends or girlfriends can be jealous of them sometimes and how they think it's kind of cute. I wanted to ask you, is jealousy a sign of love?
No. Some people may see jealousy as being protective of their partners, but jealousy is often related to power, control, and manipulation. Unhealthy relationships can turn into abusive relationships. Love is about communicating. Talk to each other and learn what your partner wants and what makes them feel good, safe, and loved.
That's good advice. And you mentioned how there's a risk of turning into abusive relationships. So I wanted to ask you a little bit more about those different types of abuse. Is it okay for your partner to threaten you if they don't actually hit you?
No. Not all abuse is physical, emotional, or psychological abuse, such as threats, excessive criticism, humiliation, or shouting and swearing are all signs of unhealthy relationships. Abuse can appear when dealing with finances, such as someone spending your money on themselves. Abuse can also be sexual, like only having sex with you on their terms and not considering your feelings. Any type of abuse can cause harm, and it's not okay.
That's really good to know. What about in other situations? For example, is it okay if your partner wants to know where you are every minute of the day?
No, constantly wanting to know where someone is or whom he or she is with by texting, calling, or even stalking is unhealthy in any relationship. Healthy relationships are built on trust and communication between both partners.
Now, earlier you mentioned about how abuse can be sexual, so I want to hear a little bit more about that. Let's say if you're doing something sexual and your partner wants to stop, should you stop?
Yes. Communication is the best way to improve your relationship. It's important to respect your partner's sexual limits and boundaries and to talk about the boundaries. If your partner is not comfortable at any time and wants to stop, you stop. Everyone has a right to have control over what happens to his or her body. People can choose when or with whom or for how long any activity takes place, no matter how deep the level of intimacy. Even if the couple is actively engaged in sex, either person has a right to change his or her mind and stop the activity at any time. If someone says no, they are not consenting. If your partner continues to pressure you into sexual activity, your partner is committing sexual assault.
That's really important to know, and I'm glad you shared that, Joan. I have another question for you then. Is it okay to believe that you can make your partner's problems go away?
No. Problems that affect a relationship, such as alcohol or drug use, lying or abuse, can lead to unhealthy behaviors. Supporting your partner is important, but if the problem is leading to any kind of abuse, such as emotional or physical, this is a sign that the relationship may be harmful. Recognizing unhealthy relationships can be difficult. Help is available by talking to someone you trust or calling a telephone helpline.
I'm glad you shared that, Joan. I'm sure there's a lot of people out there who might be recognizing that there may be a problem that their partner has, and I think they will really appreciate knowing what they can do about it. So I have another question for you then. Is it okay if your partner spends time alone with family or friends without you?
Yes. Spending time away from your partner helps you have a more balanced life where you are able to maintain healthy relationships with family and friends. Someone who is jealous of the time you spend with other people may be trying to control you. It is important to set boundaries by communicating with your partner. Example, I always attend family birthday parties as this helps me stay close to my family.
I think that's a really important message to hear too. Thank you, Joan. Why does sexual violence happen?
Sexual violence or sexual assault is an act of power and aggression. It is not sexually motivated. It makes a person feel unsafe, uncomfortable, and vulnerable.
So in a situation like that, who's at fault when a sexual assault occurs?
The offender is always at fault.
That was Joan Killilark, a community health representative based in Baker Lake, giving us a better understanding of sexual abuse and also what a healthy relationship looks like. We also spoke to Camila Setti, a community mental health specialist with the Territorial Mental Health and Addictions Team with the Government of Nunavut, in order to get a better understanding of what different kinds of emotional abuse there are. Hello, Camila.
Well, thanks for having me.
So what is emotional abuse?
Emotional abuse is a common element of family violence. It can go hand in hand with the physical forms of abuse. Emotional abuse can involve any of the following. So verbal abuse, which means an individual uses words or verbal cues to hurt somebody else in the home. Yelling, insulting, or swearing at someone are all examples of emotional abuse. Making demeaning comments about one's clothing, hairstyles, or aspects of their physical appearance, or even threatening physical violence is emotional abuse. There could be rejection. So some examples of rejection include constantly disregarding someone's thoughts, ideas, and opinions, continually picking fights or withholding affection as a form of punishment. This could be humiliating, and that could look like calling someone names, making jokes at another person's expense, rejecting or insulting things that they're interested in or their accomplishments. Gaslighting and manipulation is also a common form of emotional abuse, making someone doubt their feelings and thoughts, even their sanity, by manipulating the truth, refusing to take responsibility for their actions or how they've made someone else feel, blaming, so messages of telling someone it's their fault, dismissing their feelings or calling them crazy, dramatic, overreacting, and emotional often happens when there's emotional abuse in the family system. There could be a lot of isolation and control, so demanding to know where someone is and who they're with all the time, reading their text messages and emails and making someone spend all their time with them, isolating them from their family and friends, so not allowing someone to go spend time with at a friend's house is like a common example that we'll see of this isolation and control. Destroying or hiding someone's belongings, like a wallet, a phone.
How does alcohol play a role in family violence?
So although alcohol is rarely the cause of family violence, it can enable or trigger a violent episode. When a person's drinking becomes a problem, it can severely impact the entire family. A person under the influence might be quick to lose their temper or become violent. This can lead to a breakdown in trust among family members and can lead to feelings of resentment. Family members can experience anxiety, depression, and shame related to their loved one's addiction.
That was Camila Setti, community mental health specialist. We'll hear more from her later to talk about mental wellness and how to take care of your own mental health. Next, we're going to talk to Raha Ravasyan, project manager for Paktutit Inuit Women of Canada. She used to be an internationally trained lawyer from Iran. She played a key role in traveling to communities in Nunavut as part of this project to collect stories from women with lived experiences of family violence and service providers who worked with them. Hi, Raha.
Hi, Gloria. Thanks for having me.
So what were some of the stories that were shared with you?
First of all, I really, want to thank women who, courageously participated and attended in the interviews and shared, their lived experience with us. And, it takes courage and trust. And I'm really proud of them, of their resiliency. And I'm very, I feel proud and honored to have the opportunity. And, because, the research was mostly about family violence and its root causes and how people were aware of Family Abuse Intervention Act. We heard different stories, but sometimes, with the same root causes of the family and abuse and family violence in Nunavut. And it was mostly about, how violence impacted the lives of women who experienced violence, their children, and their loved ones, whoever, lived with them. And there were stories about how women, have a safety net and help each other and have different, codes and different strategies to help each other. And there were also, so many stories related to using and taking drugs and alcohol involved with family violence. And not to forget that, some of the stories really lays, and shed a light on multi-generational generational and intergenerational aspect of, you know, violence. People, some people that experience violence and impacted by violence have the experience of, you know, residential schools and how, you know, they're witnessing abuse or experiencing abuse as a child impacted their lives or the life of their loved one. And other than that, there are also other stories about how, you know, not having enough access to, you know, to adequate housing and shelter make it really difficult for women or even men, you know, to leave. And, you know, there is no enough shelter and safe houses for women, and not only for women, but also for men, because there is, you know, if there is a violence in the house and there is no place to go, you know, at the end of the day, people stay together and it caused, you know, a lot problem. And also there was also, you know, lack of information and awareness about the legal options available to women. And I think if, you know, we can use, you know, another opportunity to make, you know, this information available for women and to let them know that where to go and what is available for them when they face violence, that would be a great ramification of the research that we did. The other thing that I really want to talk about is that, you know, the different definition, you know, the different definition of, you know, violence and abuse. And sometimes, you know, in Inuit way of living, something that, you know, by Western ideas regarded as abuse maybe not received, you know, the same definition for Nunavut and Inuit people. But mostly women were talking about physical abuse and after that sexual, you know, physical and sexual. And some of the women were also aware of, you know, emotional abuse, verbal abuse, and some of them, you know, some of them talked about, you know, even financial withholding, you know, financial resources as an abuse, which was, you know, not everyone talking about it, not everyone regard this as an abuse, but some people, yeah, regard this also as an abuse. But what we mostly heard about was mostly about physical and sometimes sexual abuse.
That was Rahel Ravassian from Pokchutit Inuit Women of Canada. She traveled to different communities in Nunavut as part of this project with the Law Society of Nunavut to talk to women with lived experiences of family violence.